welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map, and today my guest is Juliana Greiser, launch director of Greentown Labs, a clean tech startup incubator based out of Boston that recently announced its second location to come to Houston. Juliana and I will discuss her new gig as well as her efforts promoting diversity and inclusion in the angel investing space in Houston and beyond. Juliana, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Natalie. I really love what you do at Innovation Map. Really believe that you've been a catalyst for the innovation ecosystem in Houston.
Oh, I was not prompted to say that, everyone. But thank you again. So also congrats, because this is the first time we're speaking since you were named launch director at Greentown Houston. So congrats. I know everyone's really excited in the ecosystem to have Greentown come to Houston. So why don't you tell me, take me back to the beginning, how did you first get involved and tell me a little bit about your role?
Sure. So I got involved with Greentown Labs around, I think, October past year. I knew Jason McKay, who was a board member at the time, was a board member of Greentown Labs in Boston, and one of the five original entrepreneurs who created Greentown Labs. And I knew Jason through my work at a Houston Angel Network. It was one of the portfolio companies, and I also helped him get more in contact with more investors at that time. So we kind of stayed in touch, and when it was the time about Greentown Labs expanding into Houston and looking for a launch director, he contacted me. And he sent me the job proposal, and I was like, you know, there's a lot of things in this job description that are about, you know, building selection and bringing up to code, and I've never done that. You know, I'm more like a community investing kind of person. And I said, I don't think I'm going to apply. And he told me, like, you really should, because, you know, after I saw you work at Houston Angel Network, I think you would be perfect for the role. So he kind of convinced me. And then I met Emily, and she invited me to Boston. And when I went to Boston and saw what Greentown Lab had there, I was like mind blown. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. It reminded me a lot to the TMC innovation space, but with flying drones, an airplane wing on the roof, fuel cells. They had two Teslas that they were retrofitting. So it was pretty amazing to see all this innovation in action. And I really got hooked. So I couldn't say no when they offered me the launch director position. Mm-hmm. So for November and December, I was in fundraising meetings with Emily. So I was extra officially mm-hmm. there. I was hiring January. But then, you know, I was on stealth mode for 6 months. It was supposed to be a little less than that, because we were supposed to launch on March for the CERAWeek announcement, and it didn't happen because the CERAWeek got postponed. But it was great. I mean, it's been a great experience. For 6 months, we've been telling a lot of partners what we're coming to Houston for. And we had an amazing and overwhelming support. We felt extremely welcome. And of course, we had the best champions we could have with the mayor of Houston, with the GHP, with Houston Exponential. And that's why, you know, last week when we went and did the announcement, we had 11 partners mm-hmm. in, and still like two or three that are, you know, very advanced in negotiations. So I think we're going to be announcing at least a couple or three more.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting. I'll have to stay tuned. But definitely. Yeah, I told Emily, we spoke, I guess, a couple weeks ago about just kind of how she got involved in Houston and what some of her early thoughts were. And she, of course, sang your praises. But we joked about how it was kind of such a secret for so long. And we all heard like
secret, definitely.
Yeah. We all kind of knew something had to be happening. We didn't know timeline. But so how was it being in stealth mode and just really
excited? It was great. You know, I could really focus on my work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel that sometimes in Houston, because we are so eager to promote the innovation ecosystem, mm-hmm. we go ahead and give news too early. And sometimes those projects kind of fade. And it's like such a pity, such a disappointment. And with this one, I really loved Emily's approach. Like, okay, when we announce, we're going to announce because we have a solid proposal. We have a solid project for Houston. So this is going to happen. And at some point, you know, when we were planning to announce at CERAWeek, we were almost hitting the target, but not yet. And there was a discussion like, well, if we don't hit it, you know, we won't announce. So that's how serious we are. And I really like that approach because I think, you know, we need to come to Houston with the right partners. And I think we've made a great effort. And now it's really paid off.
So now as launch director, kind of what are your responsibilities? What have you kind of accomplished so far in the role? And where are you going? What's on your kind of to-do list?
Yes. So we are two people at Greentown Labs in Houston, myself and Jason Etier, who's stepped out of the board in Boston to become my operations lead. And so he's mainly taking part of everything that is building related, which is great because he was at the formation of what happened in Greentown Labs. He knows every little detail and intricacy of the building needs. And then he's also taking care, even before there was a Greentown Labs in Houston, of the community here. So he's already doing a lot of events and making sure that startups are in the pipeline for not only when we open, but now we're also offering a sort of virtual membership. So that's the community is already at work for Greentown Labs Houston. In my case, I'm more like the external person. So a lot of what I do is tell everybody what Greentown Lab is and try to get as many partners as possible involved. And of course, we have a fundraising target because we need to have a building, and that building is going to cost money. We're going to retrofit a light industrial building and also going to do programming in it for 3 years. And that's what we're fundraising for. So that's my main responsibility so far. But anything regarding partnerships and also, of course, with Jason, trying to make sure we have a very solid community and we have as many startups lined up for membership as possible.
Great. Yeah. And so for those startups, for memberships, how do they get involved right now? And then what's the I guess, membership going to look like, you know, once there is a building and everyone can kind of huddle together in the same space, hopefully post COVID? And
yeah, so there's a lot of ways to get involved. Of course, our website, you know, if you go to greentownlabs.com, there's a Houston section where there's a form, a contact form, and you can tell them what your interest is. If it's either becoming a partner or becoming a mentor or becoming a member or startup company. And this way we can just filter the different requests for interest and lead you to the right person. We also have a monthly newsletter, and we do quite a lot of virtual events. And now with COVID-19, we partner a lot, and we do bi-city events where we also have the opportunity to be doing events with Boston. And those have been amazing. The last two virtual energy bars were with the Boston companies, and they could take advantage of networking with our partners here in Houston, which was really the best of both worlds. So I think the silver lining of this COVID experience is that we are much more integrated with the Boston team, and we're learning at a much faster rate. And that's why we decided to also open Houston for virtual memberships before we open our building in Q1 2021.
All about adapting to current.
All about adapting. That's correct.
Yeah. So for you, I know you've kind of been involved in the Houston innovation ecosystem for a while now, and you really have that idea of you know, where Greentown's going to fit into the ecosystem. So for you, what is that role that Greentown's going to play in the greater ecosystem?
I really believe that Greentown Labs is going to be a catalyst for the energy transition here in Houston. There are several things that are changing in Houston, and I think we're coming at the right time. So the fact that we're going to put together in a neutral conversation table, not only corporates, but startups and also investors, as well as many people who, you know, might have been laid off of the energy, oil and gas industries, and now they're looking for other opportunities. And in terms of crisis, you know, this is one of the best things that could happen, to have a catalyst like Greentown Labs to take care of all these opportunities that may come up in such a uncertain period.
So I guess kind of going, you know, off of that, what's been the reception you've got since you are that face and that person representing Greentown Houston? What's the feedback you're getting from, you know, startups, investors, these corporate partners? What are you hearing?
so many of them, of course, the startups, which are, you know, our members and go first, mm-hmm. they said that it was about time that Green Town Labs came to Houston. And of course, that also happened for some of our corporate members who were already engaged in Boston, like Chevron and Shell. They were like, well, it's good that, you know, we won't have to travel to Boston for a demo day, you know, because that's something that they always ask themselves, when can we have this in Houston? But then definitely for the people who, you know, didn't know about Green Town Labs, the support has been totally amazing. We didn't expect, at the beginning, we were like a little worried about using words like climate. And we were like, you know, let's use clean tech, let's use like more efficient processes and all that. And suddenly, I think one of the catalysts was also Bobby Tudor speaking at his GHP membership meeting speech, where he said, like, you know, Houston really needed to take a step forward and make sure that they became the leader in energy transition. And that changed a lot of things for us. People who, you know, we had had some meetings with, suddenly, you know, we had CEO of Amegy Bank reaching out to us like, okay, I want to know more. How can we help? I can see a lot of potential partners that have goals and they want to make sure that they do the right thing, but they don't know how to start. They don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. And many of them, not only in Houston, but also in Boston, come to us to have that kind of you know, mentorings to say like, okay, what can we do? How can we put a program together? You know, we have an objective, but now how can we break it down in steps that are actionable? And that's, I think that's where Green Town Labs is. After 9 years in Boston and a huge impact, we just released our impact report, and the impact we've done in that area has been amazing. I'm only wondering what we could do in Houston, since we're the energy of the capital of the world and many of the headquarters, not only for energy companies, but also for renewable companies are here. We have a lot of assets. We have a huge talent pool. So, and the fact that we will also be learning from the headquarters, the impact can only be bigger and better.
Yeah, I think it rings true to Houston as the energy capital of the world that everybody living here kind of wants that to continue. And I think that means making sure, you know, we're moving forward the entire industry with those concerns in mind. Do you feel, I know you said to be careful using words like climate change and stuff like that, but do you feel like the corporates that you're interacting with are kind of, you know, averse to that type of terminology, or do you feel like it's been pretty good? It's good timing.
There's been a huge shift. I think, you know, the downturns have, you know, shown that there's a need for diversification and that we cannot only depend on mm-hmm. the oil and gas, because then when the oil and gas, the oil prices go down, you know, there's a lot of disadvantages there. So people know that we need to diversify, and clean energy, clean tech makes a lot of sense in terms of our capabilities. And really, I think now people see it as an opportunity more than ever, and as a way of recovery for Houston, you know. And that's, of course, something very different from what we could see a couple of years ago only.
I think the other, you know, assumption that I think a lot of people have about the energy industry and oil and gas specifically is, you know, those kind of major corporations being a little bit slower to innovate or having kind of a slower adoption rate, and just that's changing too, it sounds like. So is that what you're seeing too with more people, especially in this down cycle, wanting to have access to tech startups in this way?
Yeah, I think one of the things Green Town Lab has perfected is the access to innovation and how corporations can reach out to startups. Mm-hmm. You know, we started very organically, and then as soon as the corporations with Green Town Labs evolved over the years, we even decided to put specific acceleration programs for them called Launch, in which the corporation asks for a specific challenge. It could be in circularity, carbon to value, wind energy, put together hackathons with Shell, anything that they want to explore and get innovation from, that's what we would do for them. You know, we've been recruiting companies from all over the world, and put them together for 6 months in acceleration programs with big corporations like Schneider, with BASF, with Vineyard Wind, so that, you know, for 6 months, we can actually translate for them the language startup to corporate, corporate to startup. And let me tell you, the result has been, they have been amazing. You know, we've got from investments to pilots to commercialization agreements to outright customers, licensing agreements, everything. So, you know, the kind of companies we have at Greentown Labs are more like hardware. Mm-hmm. We also have software, you know, as platforms to help those hardware companies. But in general, they don't follow the typical IPO route. So having early access, a very streamlined access to corporates is really essential for them. And I think we've perfected that. And also for corporations, the fact that they can do the reverse pitching of what they need is also a great efficiency that we've brought to the table, because we saw a lot of companies that were like, okay, let's try to innovate for the sake of innovating and see whether, you know, any big corporate needs all any of these innovations. And now the big corporates are saying like, this is what I need specifically. So the companies can, the startups can actually put themselves to work and say like, okay, if that's what we need, we can have a solution for you. And if we create this solution, you will be like my captive customer or my captive investor. So I think the process is much more efficient.
So I want to talk more about kind of the corporate relationship, because you mentioned, you know, when Greentown Houston launched a couple weeks ago, it was with, you know, 11 different corporate partners already. And it sounds like you've got some lined up, some more lined up. So besides this kind of access to startups, what other role do these corporates play within Greentown Houston? And, you know, how, if there's even more listening that are interested, how could they get involved?
Sure. So some of our founding partners, you know, decided to become part of this adventure with Greentown Labs in Houston for very diverse reasons. Of course, mm-hmm. If you're a founding partner for Greentown Labs, you know that you're helping Greentown Labs come to Houston and become the catalyst for the energy transition here. So in terms of branding, it's a kind of a very big statement with very big visibility. And, you know, that's why the Chevrons, the Shells and BHPs, you know, decided, okay, we are an oil and gas company. But as Barbara Berger would say, I'm tired of Chevron being called an oil and gas company. We are an energy company. So, you know, when you decide to become a founding partner in terms of branding, your commitment to the energy transition is very much underlined and it's very clear. So branding is the key one. The other thing that I think is very important for many of those partners is deal flow, access to deal flow. So many of them have investment arms, and they want to have access to deal flow. So the third one would be access to the latest technology. Instead of, you know, having to figure it out through Bloomberg or whatever it is, what the latest is in terms of innovation in the tech space, we are there and we're always, you know, having the latest. So that's also a great way to make sure you are top of mind in terms of innovation. And the latest one is, of course, it has to do with education, mm-hmm. In terms of building a community. So not only you can educate potential customers, like for direct energy, you know, but also you can be, Greentown Labs can be a test bed for some of their innovation. You know, there's a lot of energy companies like NRG, like Direct Energy, they create a lot of products, and sometimes, you know, testing those products within a safer environment at Greentown Labs could be the way to go. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, I think it's just having a neutral table where everybody can sit and engage in a very meaningful conversation about what the next steps for Houston are. So sometimes these conversations where they are just led by Shell or just led by Chevron, you know, they can be very one-sided in there. And Greentown Labs really wants to be the convener for these conversations. Mm-hmm. And we want to have everybody at the table. We want to have all the universities. we want to have all the big oil and gas players, all the big renewables, everybody, so that we can have a very open and honest conversation on how to move Houston forward with their energy transition.
Sounds like a lot of perks to being a corporate partner.
Definitely.
Yeah. So in terms of the startups,
one that is very important. Very.
Go ahead. Okay.
It's employee retention for many of these companies. A lot of the oil and gas have seen, some of the biggest and brightest minds are questioning the fact that, now they want to see, they want to create an impact. So just working for an oil and gas company that is not going to do anything for the energy transition might no longer cut it. So they've seen that we sometimes have companies that have corporate desks at Greentown Labs. And when we have employees of the corporations within our space, the employee retention has been really, really high. And there's a lot of employee satisfaction because they are seeing that they're creating an impact and they're helping startups change the world.
Well, that's a good one to add on then. So for startups, what are you looking for in member startups? What types of companies are you really going to, are going to really succeed within the Greentown Houston model?
So in Greentown Labs Boston, we had a sweet spot for companies that came out of accelerators. So many of them came out of MIT, Mass Challenge, some of them from Y Combinator, accelerators from Techstars, all over the world. And then, normally they had a Series C raise and that money, was put to use at Greentown Labs where, we would be able to provide them with the resources, the lab space, and the joint programming that was required to make them succeed. So they would come with around two people per company and then would leave about 2 years later once they outgrew the space and there would be maybe at 12 to 15 employees. And when they grow the space, normally they tend to stick very close by, because during those 2 years, they have achieved, they have done a lot with their supply chain. And most of the supply chain normally tends to be around the area where Greentown Labs is. So once they leave, they tend to not move very far. And we can see that in some of the Boston companies, they literally move like a next door. So, this is perfect for us because, as I mentioned, the community is one of the things that is key to Greentown Labs. So at Greentown Labs in Boston, we have 100 companies, but, 250 are alumni and they are still very, very involved with the day-to-day of Greentown Labs and they pay it forward. So once they have achieved a lot of milestones, they make sure they train and they mentor other Greentown Labs companies. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit the model we're trying to replicate here in Houston. There might be that some of the companies might be slightly earlier because the ecosystem is less developed than in Boston. But so far, we've seen quite a lot of traction in terms of interest and very good companies. And also some of the Boston companies that anyway already have customers or pilots in Houston are also thinking about opening an office in the Greentown Labs in Houston.
So going to be a variety and lots of collaboration across the startup. So investors, corporations, startups can all learn more online. So that's great. I want to pivot since I know you wear a lot of hats. We were just talking about how many hats you wear as launch director is just the latest one. But the second most recent kind of gig you have is with the Business Angel Minority Association, and you are president over there. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I know you and Maria Masso, the CEO and friend of yours, really have a great story of how you basically out of a need created this network of angel investors. So tell me a little bit about kind of what's going on with BAMA.
Yeah, so BAMA was, a very exciting adventure. And it's funny how it also overlaps with Greentown Labs because the latest founding partners that we had at Greentown Labs, when they were considering becoming a partner, they all asked what we were doing in terms of diversity and inclusion. And Emily was like, well, you know, we thankfully have hired Juliana and she's a huge champion. So definitely she's going to help us with that. And we are actually putting together a working group at Greentown Labs for D&I. And I'm so excited that many of the partners are really engaging. And I think, you know, we're going to have great results, not only in terms of diversity and the kind of very diverse entrepreneurs we're going to bring to Greentown Labs, but also in terms of education, you know, because I think education and awareness is key. So for Bama, we launched right before COVID-19, which was, you know, a little bit of a bummer because we had a lot of people who signed documents and brought checks. And suddenly, you know, they were like, wait a minute, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to invest right now. So what's been great is that, you know, because we've done everything virtually, we've been doing a lot of education. And that's what I believe many of our newest members who've never done angel investing before needed. We've also done a lot of very different partnerships with other groups that are very like-minded, like Angeles or like Black VC, the Urban Capital Network, and we've put together events like with Axel Hub in Boston. And you know, now you don't care that much about where all these people are because everything is virtual. We've put together a syndication group called the Investors of Color Network. And so we're meeting on a monthly basis and also doing deals with them, sharing deals that, you know, have already been vetted and have been invested by a lead. So, you know, our investors that are pretty new feel more comfortable in investing in deals that have been already vetted by several counterparts. And also one of the things we are going to do is we're going to put together a fund because we really believe that this is the way to go for newer investors. So that they can diversify and have at least around 10 deals with only one investment in our fund.
Yeah, I remember the launch event y'all had. At the time, we were just kind of like, oh, I guess we won't handshake anyone or, you know, share. But it's crazy to think back. That was just a while ago. It feels like a whole year ago or something. But
definitely.
I know y'all have some big plans for expanding the network, but it sounds like you're still being, you know, able to kind of use this time to educate your members and also kind of reach out and grow kind of organically. But has COVID really affected Bama's trajectory, do you think, or has it just shifted slightly?
Well, I think, you know, some people who were very eager to start investing suddenly felt like a moment of pause. But I think it was a good thing, to be honest. I think there was a blessing in disguise because then we can, you know, every time, even at Houston Angel Network, when I had a new member coming, they were always very eager to invest, you know, and I thought like sometimes it would not be the best way because, you know, you are all excited. You think you're a shark from Shark Tank and then, you know, start spraying your money around and then you realize that you're losing everything and that's not the way to go. You know, if you want to have sustainability in terms of members doing the right thing and getting profits and still be members for a long time, we need to make sure that first they don't invest and they get educated and then they realize who is out there, who's an expert at what, and invest alongside them. So that would be the key tips I would give to my new members. And I think this period for Bama has been about that, has been about, you know, a lot of education with our key experts in very different areas and letting our members know that, you know, it's still a very good time. There's still a lot of very good opportunities, but you need to know exactly where. And you know, so that combined with the fact that we are in this Investor of Color network where, you know, we're seeing pretty good deals. And the fact that I'm also bringing some of the deals with Portfolio and the Rising America Fund to Bama, there's great overlap and a lot of very good opportunities. So I would say that, you know, it has been a sort of time that we've been very wisely using to educate our members.
Yeah. And another organization you're involved in is Portfolio, which you just mentioned, which is focused on, you know, female investors. So tell me a little bit about, you know, what Portfolio does and how you, like you said, you're bridging that gap between Bama, Portfolio, and just other, you know, deals.
Yeah, so I got engaged with Portfolia when I did my Kaufman Fellows program in 2013. This Fellows program is a leadership in VC program. It's a two-year program where you learn from the best in Silicon Valley. It's also a global network that was very interested for me. And also the fact that the fellows are always there as a very strong network of support, you know, and we really help one another. So at the end of a two-year fellowship, you always have to do an end-of-fellowship project, and it has to be like as crazy as you wish. You know, it really has to move you, and, you know, you really need to feel like very empowered to do it, you know. So some people have written books, they have launched companies, they have created incubators. So some of them really, really took advantage of that project. And at first I thought like, well, I'm going to do something about creating an international network because, you know, I'm very international. And I realized that I was procrastinating a little bit. And I'm like, this is not really calling my heart. So that's when I met Trish Costello. Trish Costello is the founder of Portfolia, but was also the founder of the CEO, founding CEO of the Kaufman Fellows Program. So she knew everybody. And when she told me what she was trying to do, I was like, well, I think I need to study about this, about bridging the gender gap in investing. So I did that, and that became my end of fellowship program. And I created a lot of research about what was the gap, what were the reasons of the gap, and also what solutions have been put in place to try to bridge it. And then, you know, the conclusion of that actually became that, you know, we launched a fund called the Rising Tide Fund with Portfolia. That was the first ever fund that was simultaneously launched in Europe and in the US. And it was a huge success. We already got an exit in less than a year and a half. And after that, what was really interesting, it was that, first of all, not only we get a great ROI, but also we activate a lot of women into investing. Why? Because first, we educate them. So it's a learn by investing initiative where the LPs or investors can be as active as they wish so that they can you know, get educated, but also they get empowered. Because many of them, they know a lot more than they think they do, but they don't feel they belong. So I think Portfolia has been more than anything, a movement to empower, you know, more women and diverse people into investing. Also, one of the biggest advantages for that is that the entry point for the fund is really low; it's only 10K. So I always say, for 10K, you get more than in many MBAs, and on top of that, you get a return for your money, and you get a network that can be like the best network you can get, and really empowered women who can help you a lot. And for sure, in several steps in my career, they were instrumental in my decision making.
That's awesome. Well, I don't know how you juggle it all because you're also involved in the Angel Capital Association. So tell me about that too. And I mean, honestly, at this point, you can just list all of the jobs you have because it's overwhelming how much you do.
So, yeah, I have always been very involved with the Angel Capital Association because at the end of the day, you know, angels need to syndicate. We don't have deep enough pockets to do deals on our own. But more than anything, we don't have enough time to lead deals and do due diligence or very thorough due diligence in many deals. So that's, I would say, the bottleneck for angel investing is more time than money. So syndication has always been very appealing to me, not only through the Alliance of Texas Angel Network that I was also part of, but then when ACA reached out, I became, you know, a member of many of their working groups. They had working groups for membership and marketing, many of their committees for different events that they were doing, summits, international exchange programs. And, you know, I had been volunteering so much that they asked me 2 years ago to be part of their board. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons also was that they wanted to make sure they brought more diversity to the ACA and that they were getting more groups that are more diverse in terms of angel membership and investing. So that's what I've been doing. We created a podcast called the ACA Diversity Champs. That has been working really well, and it's been a blast. And we are also making sure that our initial ACA summit that was virtual This past May was a success. And now we're going to do many more things in terms of programming that are going to be virtual. And so far, we're having a blast. We're launching an international syndication call, which we never thought we would do. So we're having investors from Australia, from India, from all Latin America and Europe coming up and sharing deals. So all those things are possible because now we're more virtual than ever. So it's also a good thing.
Yeah, I love that kind of ability to look at a pandemic and all work, because we're all, you know, struggling in the same in maybe different ways, but in the same capacity. So optimizing on that virtual, we're all, like you said, much more virtual people nowadays. So that's a good blessing in disguise, I feel.
Yeah, I was a month ago, I was asked to present to a group of women in Saudi Arabia, and I felt so honored. And I'm like, I don't know how they reached out to me, but you know, I thought that this wouldn't have been possible if we're not for COVID-19. So it was a very good experience.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations on that, and congratulations on the new job, and thank you so much for taking some time out of your very, very busy schedule to talk to me.
I was happy to.
Thank you so much. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Be sure to rate and review the show, and join me next week for another interview with a Houston Innovator.